Take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Joshua, the very first chapter, the book of Joshua. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let us pray. Father, I certainly thank you again today for the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity once again to gather in this place. And Lord, that we can hear from your Word. And this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. Ask you, Father, to do that through me tonight, Lord, which you've appointed. And Father, once again, that we'll just be encouraged and helped to just keep on going on for you. And Father, once again tonight, we put this time in your hands. We trust, Lord, that you'll receive honor and glory tonight, that your name will be magnified. And Lord, that none of us will ever forget you are the true, the living, the only, the one God. And we love you today. And Lord, thank you for how much you loved us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the book of Joshua, there is a whole lot of military action that goes on. They're getting ready. They go across into the new land, the Canaan land. And it's in there that they spend a lot of time fighting, driving out the inhabitants. We see it over and over in this book. And I think probably you understand that the Christian, by now you understand, the Christian has an enemy. We have an enemy to contend with. And he's strong and he's powerful and he's always, always there to try to discourage us and stop the work of God. The Canaan land in the Bible, I'm sure you're familiar with this, is not really a picture of heaven. It's a picture of that life that we ought to go from, the wilderness after we get saved. We ought to go on past all those things and get into the Canaan land, the spirit-filled life. It's not a picture of heaven, because in heaven there'll be no battles. Now, I know a lot of times people picture it, even in songs and in other things, they'll picture crossing Jordan as crossing over into heaven. And it's a beautiful thought, and all those things maybe doesn't do any harm, but the actual picture of going across Jordan into Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture, in fact, of going on for God, stronger than we ever had before. And we need to do that. We need to, even here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need to do that. I'm going to go back. This here is ringing a little bit, David. If you're back there, will you give me, cut it down just a little bit? Thank you very much. Exodus. I'm going to go back to the book of Exodus, and I want to show you God's intention. Is the sound all right now? Is that better? Okay. Exodus, the third chapter. Verse number 7, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. If you'll notice in verse number 8, God said he's going to bring them out of Egypt. But he's not going to just bring them out of Egypt. He wants to bring them out that he might take them in. God did not save you and I so that we would just remain in a worldly condition. He wants us to go on over into Canaan land. He wants us to go get closer to him all the time. It's growth. I don't know whether you see it, but on young Christians, it's one of those things that I try to watch very closely. Because it's a dangerous time for young Christians a lot of time when they first get saved and they see before them so much growth they have to do, so many battles they have to fight. And it's kind of a dangerous time. It's a serious time because sometimes they grow discouraged when they see all they've got before them. And they maybe will look at other Christians that's been down the road a long ways and they say, I could probably never get there. Now they can, because what they don't realize is that's the way we got there. A day at a time, just going on for God, letting God do something in our life. You know in the Word of God, you're familiar with it. You know as you read the Word of God how much of the Bible is concerning salvation. We know that God tells us a lot about salvation, explains it, and tells us over and over in the Bible. But not near as much is written on salvation as in Christian growth. God wants us to grow once we get saved. He wants us to go on for him, you see. So we just got to realize, and as I was thinking about this past week we had and all of that, I was thinking how God blessed, because we did a lot of looking back on what God had done, and certainly God has just blessed just tremendously. But we don't stop there. It's not a time to stop. It's a time to go on for God. And do greater things for God than this church has ever done before. That's our desire. That's what we want to do. And I believe it's what the Lord wants us to do. If you'll notice, if you're back in the book of Joshua here in verse number 2, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. You notice here that, of course, that Moses represented the law. He was the one that brought the law. The law could not bring them into Canaan land. It took the grace of God. It took a Joshua. And let me say to you, it takes Jesus Christ to get us into the Canaan land. It takes him to develop in us a desire to go on for God and to be greater than we ever had before. And it's only him. The law of God is a perfect law. Only one ever fulfilled it. And that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We understand that. We know that, you see. But the law cannot even take you into salvation. It took someone fulfilling the law to get us into salvation. If we're going to go over into Canaan land, it's going to take someone greater than us to get us there. And that's our Joshua. That's our Savior, you see, who will get us there. Now, as he looked here, it was not the strength of the enemy or even the weakness of the enemy that was the problem. You see, what it was whether they was going to be willing to claim the land that God had given them. And that's what it all boils down to. Are you and I willing to go on for God and claim that land that is there? That's what it was the Israelites. Were you willing to drive out the inhabitants? And if you understand it, and I'm sure you do, there's a lot of inhabitants in our lives that ought not to be there. From the time you get saved, you got to start doing some driving out of those inhabitants. And it's just a constant battle. We know that a whole generation of Israelites died before they got into the land of Canaan. I'm afraid that this probably is true of the church many times. Not making individual applications, but I believe in the church we see a lot of Christians who never get out of the wilderness. They spend all of their life in the wilderness. No, it does not mean they're not saved. Certainly they're saved. They're born again, but they never get out of the wilderness. They simply stay in it for the rest of their life, their Christian life. It is not what God wants. God wants, as he said in that scripture, and I think it was in verse number two, he said, all the people are to go over. He wants every Christian to be spirit-filled. He wants every Christian to grow, not just be saved, but to grow. But as I said, I believe many, many Christians out there spend their whole life in the wilderness and really never cross on over into Canaan land, that sweet land of fellowship with God, like God wants us to be, have. You know, saved, but as by fire, born again, God's child, but they just never get out of the wilderness. You see, God wants every single Christian to go on for the Lord. Amen. Every single one, not just part of us. He wants everyone to go on for God. So we see the land of Canaan here was helped by some very strong nations, people who had chariots, and they were people with great weapons. I just want to share with you, the Canaan land we're talking about, going on spirit-filled land, is not something that's easy taken. The Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians, it is absolutely a spiritual battle all the time. I think you could probably understand that, but for the years that I've been saved, we've been in a battle. It's a constant battle. It doesn't quit. And that's the way it's going to be. There's a lot of strongholds out there, and there's only one that can help us gain those strongholds, and that's our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's the only one, you see, that can do that. But God wants each and every one of us to have that full blessing of the Christian life. He doesn't want us to just stop where we are. He wants us to go on for the Lord and be what he wants us to be. And oh my, it's a greater life. It's much better than that wilderness land. Amen. So we just need to go on. Now, what can we do? Let's look at verse number 9 for just a few moments. In fact, let me ask the question. How can someone that is God's child, how can they truly be used by God? What is the answer? How is God truly going to use them? Well, you notice in verse number 9, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, when I read that, here's what I comprehend when I read that. I believe that God looked down at Joshua and he saw some weakness in Joshua. I believe that's one of the reasons he said this. Oh, I don't mean that Joshua was a terribly weak person and he was shaking in his boots, but I think he was telling Joshua, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to not be discouraged. You're going to have to have courage about you. You've got a lot of ahead of you. You're not going to have to be afraid. You're going to have to get off of that, not be afraid. You're just going to have strength in God and go on for God. And you're not going to be dismayed. I can almost look at the job that Joshua was going to do, and I can look at it and say, God, that's an impossible job. How am I going to go in and take all of these lands and drive out all these inhabitants? Well, I think Joshua, to some degree, probably was somewhat dismayed when he looked at all that was ahead of him. So what God is saying to him is, Joshua, listen, just trust in me. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to say that to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm talking about to every individual. God is with you. God will take you on. God will be with you. And God will see to it that you go on. Just don't get all discouraged. Don't get downhearted. Don't get dismayed at all that goes on in this world. Don't do it. Just remember, God is with you. You and I need to understand that every day. We fight battles. Do you fight battles? I mean, I fight battles. I don't know about you, but I fight battles. And I want to tell you right now, without God, I can't make it. Now, I really can't make it. And until we realize that, we've got real problems. We've got to understand that. We were setting up the hospital, Brother Don and them, and we were sitting over with Brother Charles, Sister Ruthie. And Ruthie told me again, she said, you know, Pastor, she said, I could not go through what I went through without God. I could not do it. Well, she's right. But folks, you and I can't either. It may not be cancer that me and you are facing. We don't know what it is, but folks, we can't make it without Him. You see, and God wants us to go on. I just want to show you something here in verse number 1. It says, "And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying." You know what Joshua was before he took the leadership? He was a minister to Moses. You know what he was? He was a faithful man. He was just faithful. You know what? God's not looking for leaders out here that'll step up to the bat when they're called to be leaders. He's looking for faithful people who will be faithful before they ever become leaders. That's who he's looking for. And boy, just be faithful. Just walk with God. Be faithful in the little things. In the little things of life. Just be faithful. That's the kind of people that God uses, you see. And listen to this preacher, folks. You just start early in life. Just start early and be faithful all the time. Just be faithful in the very little things of life. And one of these days, God will help you and God will use you, you see. That's the way Joshua was. There was a woman one time put up a sign in her kitchen. "Divine service rendered here 3 times a day." I think there's divine service that each of us do. You know, and to me, you know, that is divine service. But we want to take the big things. We want to do the big things. No, do the little things. And God will take care of doing the big things one of these days, you see. Joshua was just faithful. Just a faithful man. Just doing it day in, day out. And finally, he said, "You know what? Moses is dead. Joshua, I want you to step up. It's time." Time, God's plan was being fulfilled. Amen. Joshua, it's your time, see. And down through the years, haven't we seen, you read of great men of God, and all at once, you know, they're by the wayside. We've said so many times here lately that some of the great men of God are gone. I mean, whom we would consider great men of God, have used greatly of God, they're gone. I mean, their lives have been taken. God's got done with, he's done with them, and they went on, you see. But somebody has to step up. I think that's one of the things that worries me. In America today, where are they? I don't mean that they're not up there. There is people stepping up. But we need people to step up. I know I'm on that theme a lot, young men and young ladies. But listen, you step up. You be ready and prepared when God reaches down and says, "I want you to do this." You be ready to do it. Amen. You be prepared. And you have to get prepared to do that. You can't just all at once say, "Okay, here I am. I'm ready now." No. You got to prepare for that. That's the way God takes care of us and prepares us for all of that work that he wants us to do. You know, Jesus prepared 30 years for his ministry. I think it's so interesting. It's just interesting. Of course, John the Baptist did too. John the Baptist had a very, very short ministry and prepared all that time to get ready for that ministry. But I think it's so interesting that God said of his son Jesus at his baptism, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." Wait a minute, that's before he'd ever went into his ministry. That's before he ever, you know, the ministry that we know of, the three years there. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? You don't prepare when it's time for you to step up. You prepare way ahead of time. And that's why these young people, you got to start preparing now. You start letting God build your life and do something for you. See, don't sit and say, you know, "I'm just going to do what I want to do." No, you got to yield yourself to God. See, that's what Joshua did, and that's what God wants you to do. Now we find in verse number 5 and 6, we find he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." You know, he was sure. Joshua knew that God was sending him. I just think that's so important that each person knows the will of God for their life. What's God planned for you? What is it that he wants you to do? You don't have to be sent to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. That's not what God's going to use for you. No way in the world. But you need to understand that God has a plan for your life. God has something, you see, for you. And it's not so much are you qualified, because I don't think anybody's qualified. I'm just serious. I don't think any of us is qualified. It's are you sent? Has God sent you? Has God prepared a plan for you and for you to do? See, it's not, are you qualified? You're not qualified. I'm not qualified. Only God can qualify us. Only God can do that, you see, through us. He's just looking for somebody who's willing to glorify God and just say, I want you to be honored and glorified. God, I just want to do what you want me to do, and I'm willing to do it. He's looking for willing people just to say, okay. Boy, if we had a bunch of those. I mean, if we just had a bunch of them. I was amazed, though, over that 30th year anniversary thing when we had all those people standing up here that night that came out of the first services at Blessed Hope. I was amazed. It was amazing. I can't remember. It seemed like there was at least four pastor's wives. I think that was right. Wasn't there four or five preachers? Five preachers in that. Now, that's amazing. I don't know if you understand that or not, but that's amazing what God did and pulled out of just those people that were there during those first services and prepared them and used them. It's amazing. And then you go on down through the life of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you look at the people whom God has just reached down and put his hand on and he's using. It's amazing what God has done here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It is. And we ought to thank God for that. We ought to be thankful and praise his name for what he's done, because he's done a tremendous work here. He's done it. Amen. He's done that. So we need to be, we don't want to quit, guys and young ladies. We want to keep on going. We just want to see God reach down, pick some of you out of there, use you for this, use you for that, get you strong in the faith. We need people in our churches that are strong, they're solid, grows up, wants to be a deacon. Wants to be a Sunday school teacher. Amen. Just wants to be a giver. Wants to be a prayer warrior. I'm telling you, we need those kind of people in our churches. Amen. And the only place we're going to get them is folk like you. It was interesting, and it was a church over in Terre Haute. They had, I think it was in the paper, I saw it in the paper, and they had this church, I think it was 175 years old. Did any of you see that? They was having a big celebration. But the one thing I noticed in that was there was no picture of any young person. I don't know whether anybody else noticed that or not, but there was no picture of any. Everybody was old folk. Now, you know, I'm glad for them. I'm sure they had a great time. But that's a dying church. You don't have a living church when you don't see young folk, you don't see middle-aged folk, you don't see old folk. You need them all. Need every single one of them, but you got to have young people coming into the church. You got to have that. That's where life is at, you see. So you young people, you stand up for God. Don't you walk away. You stand up for God. You do what's right. Amen. And you determine in your heart, you're going to be like Joshua. You're just going to be faithful. No matter what happens, you're just going to be faithful. And let me say to you, that ought to be your first priority in life. Just be faithful to God. Okay? Just be faithful to God. Don't quit on him. Just be faithful. And then we find in verse number 8, the book. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What's the secret to all of this? The Word of God, the Bible. The Word of God, that's the secret to all this. You don't let it depart out of your mouth. Now, listen to him. He wasn't saying don't speak it. He was just saying don't let it depart from you. Let it be your mainstay. Let the Word of God be what you speak, what you use, you see. And he went on to say, but thou shalt meditate thereon. You need to meditate upon the Bible day in, day out, night in, night out. God is saying you need to learn the Bible. You need to know the Bible. You need to love the Bible. You see, that's the secret of a successful life. Amen. Amen. That's the secret of it. And he goes on to say that thou mayest observe to do all according to that is written therein. You know what? It isn't enough just to talk about it. It isn't enough just to meditate upon it. It isn't enough to just let it come from my mouth. You got to observe it. You got to follow the Bible the rest of your life. Don't let anybody get you off of that track. You see, that's what he was saying. You want success? Follow the Bible. You want to be prosperous? Follow the Bible. You'll have a prosperous life. You'll have a successful life. If you don't hardly have a dime to your name, it'll be prosperous. And it will be successful if you'll just follow the Bible. See, he's not just talking about money here. He's not just talking about things here. He's talking about following the Word of God, being what God wants you to be. And then you'll be successful. Amen? How many missionaries, you know, across the world, loving God, walking with God, are they successful? If they're following the Bible, they're successful if they don't have a dime to their name. Amen. Christians, you need, that's not what's important, how much money you got. It's whether you're successful, whether you walk with God or not, you see. And that's what he was telling Joshua here. He says, it's written therein, for then thou shalt have thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I preached Lori's graduation. Oh, you probably won't remember that, Lori. It's been too long. But I preached from that portion of Scripture. Oh, yes, I did. I said, how to have success in life. Preached from that portion of Scripture. Told them, you walk with God, you follow God, you keep the Bible, you do what the Bible says, and you'll have success. You may not be popular, but you'll have success, you see. In God's eyes, you'll have success, you see. So there's no, really, there's no magic formula everybody has to go in. What it is, you just walk with God, you just follow the Bible, you just listen to Him, and you mind Him, you do what He says, you see. That's the secret to all of this, you see. Now, was there victory for the Israelites in the land of Canaan? Let me say something to you. Yes, there was victory. Let me say to you, it all depended, though, if they was willing to mind the Word of God, whether it was victory or not. Over and over in the Word of God, it says they drove not out the inhabitants. You don't drive the inhabitants out of your life. I want to tell you something. There's not victory. There's victory if you want it, if you claim it. You get rid of those things that ought not to be in your life. Get rid of them. Do away with them. Walk with God. Drive those inhabitants out. And there's a victory. You don't do that. You don't do that. It's not going to be victory. I've said it so many times, I know. But listen, folks. Don't talk it. Walk it. Don't talk it. Walk it. Do what God says. You see. And the reason they had victory is because they followed God's plan. When they followed God's plan, they had victory. When they did not follow God's plan, they did not have victory. Let me go show you in verse number 5. He says, and there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You know, he had told them he had a plan for them, for Joshua. He had a plan. He was to go in and divide the inheritance for the Israelites. He has a plan for you. I know it's not that same plan, but he has a plan for you. He's got something he wants you to be prepared to do. I mean, exactly. He wants you to do it. You're the one he's prepared all this time to do. That's the way it was with Moses here. And what he told Moses, or excuse me, with Joshua, he says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That same promise is to you and I. I know it was given to Joshua. That same promise is with for you and for I. Amen. It's there. God will say to you, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. No, I will not forsake thee. You see, in life, he wants you to go over there in Canaan land and just get spirit filled and walk on with God. Get rid of those old things you found out in the wilderness and just go on for God, you see. In verse number, of course, 8 and 9, he tells us the secret of it. He tells us the formula for it. Get in your Bible. Love God. Walk with God. Serve God. Know the Bible. And believe the Bible. Follow the Bible. Observe the Bible. Do everything the Bible says. If it's against the Bible, don't do it. If it's what the Bible says, do it. Amen. Just walk with God. Oh, if we could get all of us just to gauge everything that we do from day to day according to the Bible. Amen. Just say, is this right? Is it all right according to the Bible? Yes, I'm going to do that. If it's not, no, I'm not going to do that. Amen. Just do everything to the glory of God. Just walk with God, you see. And then he says in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, what he wants us to do is be strong. Be strong in the Lord, folks, and the power of his might. Be strong in God, you see. And then he says that I command thee, be strong and of good courage. Have courage. Christian life takes courage. It takes courage to walk with God. I mean, anybody can be a quitter. Oh, I'm serious. Yeah, I think I preached a sermon one. Yeah, I did. I preached a sermon one time. You know, it's easy to do the easy. It's easy to do the easy. It's easy to quit. Takes courage to go on from day to day. Takes courage to go on for God. You see, anybody can do the easy. That don't take anything. Anybody can do that. Amen. So he says, be good courage, and be not afraid. You don't have to be afraid. God is your helper. God's with you. God's your strength. You don't have to be afraid, you see. And be thou just not be dismayed. Don't be dismayed at all that's going on in this world. Sometimes we look at this problem that we're having with across the world and all the terrorists and all those things. And sometimes it can just really shake you, you know, if you let it. You look around, my goodness, what are we going to do in America? They're saying now maybe there's going to be some other attacks on America. You see, all I know is this. I don't have to be dismayed. My God knows what's going on. And our God is with us. One man said to me here the other day, he said, so what, the bomb drops and he drops right on top of me. Man, I'm just going to be just sent on to heaven. Now, we don't want that to happen. We don't want the bomb to drop. We don't want it to hit us. We don't want the terrorists to hit us. But we got something greater than this place down here. We have a God that will not forsake us or leave us. We have a great God. Whatever he's got planned for you, he'll be with you. Amen. He'll lead you. And it looks kind of scary right now, don't it? Young person looking toward life, wondering what in the world's going to happen. You get a little older, you quit worrying about that because you figure you don't have too much left. you're just ready to go on. It's all right. Amen. But as a young person, they wonder and they think about these things and they get dismayed over the things that's coming in life, you know. I understand that. But you go on with God. You walk with God. He loves you. And he always will. Never leave you. Never forsake you. He'll always be right there with you. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness, your kindness, the promises of your book. Help us to be strong. Help us to be courageous. Help us to not be dismayed. Help us not to be afraid. Oh God, we need you. And Lord, we have the great, the true, wonderful, living God. And the reason, Lord, we don't have to be all those things is because you'll be with us. And Father, help us, Father, please help us to realize the great truth that our God is with us, that he'll never forsake us, that he loves us with a love that's greater than anything we can even explain. And Father, thank you for that love. Now we just ask your will to be done in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.